Big finale, huh? We made it here. Golly. 30 years.
Dear Hollywood, the game plan to change Hollywood.
Wow, a whole season unpacking the toddler to train wreck pipeline. We've explored tons of topics that factor into child stars coming undone. And I'm curious, do you feel like you have a better grasp of what your favorite kid idol's life was like growing up in Hollywood? What do you think about child stardom and kids in the industry now? How has this changed your view of the way you consume media and participate in the culture that enables this reality for children? The reason I started Dear Hollywood is because I've witnessed too many performers lose their lives in the pipeline. We've had enough documentaries bringing it to light without seeing any progress, and we've made enough advancements in health science, trauma research, child development theory, etc., so we need to update our industry protocols to reflect that. Just like we need to update our education system and all the systems, really. I mean, unless you're trying to perpetrate harm, there really isn't much to resist in terms of wanting to create safer, more ethically designed, equitable spaces for humans to exist, including spaces for children. In the case of Hollywood, it's time for the entertainment industry and everyone who is a part of the ecosystem to acknowledge our role in the pipeline and take on the responsibility of proactively improving the system. Fortunately, we can design clear, unified action plans for intervention and long-term prevention strategies that have been missing. We can provide resources for families and children to understand the risks, consequences, and difficult processes ahead if they pursue this path. And it doesn't have to be expensive or burdensome for the peeps who really only care about the bottom line. So let me share a working game plan with you. I invite constructive feedback, keyword constructive. I'm not claiming to know everything, I'm just getting us started. After I share this, I also want to ask what you want to see happen in season two, because there are some pretty awesome directions that we could go. But first, the game plan. Starting with preventative resources, the things we can provide upfront as folks enter the industry, such as onboarding manuals or training modules that you'd get in other jobs. One of these resources is the Artist Wellbeing Toolkit. A small team and I have designed the first of its kind artist well-being toolkit for guardians and young artists who want to get into the industry. It's a robust digital course that provides pivotal industry education, guided mental and emotional health tools designed by therapists, artist-specific activities, and journal prompts to equip families with a customized game plan to pursue their passion or career in media in a healthy, sustainable way. Whereas you can find tons of industry-related workshops that center the industry, this toolkit is the first we've seen to center your child's well-being as they pursue the industry. The toolkit will be available very soon to buy. Additionally, I'm aiming to reach out to agents, managers, acting schools, and other artist gathering spaces to see if they want to adopt this toolkit as a part of their onboarding process for new clients. If you know an acting school or agency who wants to bring us in to lead a workshop and then get everyone set up with this toolkit, reach out to dearhollywoodpodcast@gmail.com with the word workshop in the subject line. I have no idea how many requests will come in, so we'll have to sort out circumstantially the best way to navigate all of this. The next preventative action is training for adults working with minors. Just like a cast and crew receives training for things like sexual harassment and gun safety if weapons are used in the project, if a set includes working children, all the adults should go through a simple training about what it means to share a workplace with a child and create a healthy, safe, age-appropriate environment for young artists. It's not expensive, doesn't take much time, and it establishes ground rules and accountability. Whether you're a photographer or costume designer or audio engineer or hair and makeup artist or set teacher or something else, if you complete this training and exemplify reliable, safe behavior on sets with kids, you'll only boost your hireability for other jobs. Similarly, acting schools. If you become a reliable, safe space for kids to grow and develop their artistry without compromising their well-being, your business will only grow. If you want to bring us in to help support your cast and crew, your students, again, email dearhollywoodpodcast@gmail.com with workshop in the subject line. The third preventative resource is directing young artists to supportive community spaces. We cannot do this alone. The Looking Ahead program does exist, and they help young professional performers and their families build community, gain education and support while navigating the unique challenges associated with working in the industry. They have in-person events, virtual workshops, and more. And I wish every single kid getting into the industry knew about them, but we have to spread the word so they do. So you can go to lookingaheadprogram.org for more info, and I really hope that they continue to grow and expand. Following the preventative measures, let's talk about improvements on set. There's so much that we can do to improve the creative process and being on set. The bare minimum would be to have a qualified mental health coordinator and/or specialist whose job begins with pre-production and carries through the shoot. And let me share how. Per the Association for Mental Health Coordinators website, this person can help analyze the script upfront to ensure any parts involving mental illness or even nudity and sex or challenging themes are respectfully and accurately portrayed. Otherwise, we risk adding to social stigma, spreading misinformation about mental illness, and potentially harming people who do live with mental health challenges or other challenging life experiences. From there, they can assess the filming schedule to know which production days involve more sensitive material and thus require on-set support. Now, this support, yes, is for actors in that the coordinator can help them get into character, sustain the psychological and physiological state needed for the scene, and then after, guide them into a moment of processing, de-rolling, meaning getting out of character, and sealing that experience before transitioning to the next space. But let's not forget the crew. This is a shared workspace, and we don't know what kind of trauma or life experiences the crew is bringing in with them before witnessing intense scenes play out. So, a coordinator can help provide guidance and resources for the cast and crew. Digging further into the scenes themselves, a properly trained coordinator can work with other departments like the stunt team to assist with choreographing physical movements involved in violence or intimacy. And because they're a third party, they can provide a safe point of contact for cast and crew to report concerns and misconduct along the way. This, to reiterate, doesn't have to be expensive or laborious. And if you include the support up front, then you lower the chances of needing to call in the crisis intervention team once things are way out of hand. And networks, you know plenty about that. You spare the dramatic stories of how horrible that set was, and most importantly, you get ahead of unnecessary harm. Now, it's my belief that if minors are in the cast, you should have this mental health coordinator available throughout the whole production, no matter what the subject matter is, because as we've named, the industry experience is atypical and has a number of effects on a young person's development and lifestyle. Besides, right now, the set teacher is supposed to double as the welfare worker, and that's just too many hats for one person to wear, and they're usually not deeply trained in this area. So, I haven't ironed out exact details, you know, whether the coordinator should do an upfront workshop and then weekly check-ins, or if they ought to float around on set daily or something else, but a set with kids definitely needs more than what's currently mandated. Also, have to give this aside, I'm super aware that other industries should implement mental health coordinators. Like, example, hospitals should absolutely support staff as they cope every day with direct exposure to trauma. I'm only focusing on Hollywood because that was my workplace. That's my expertise, and I'm staying within my sphere of influence, staying in my lane. Next, we can evolve our actual approach to storytelling in media. Writers, what kind of stories are you telling in the first place and why? What is the impact on society? I assure you, you can be brilliantly artistic and write about an infinite number of topics while also being mindful of the impact. Cinematographers, do you have to film the child directly experiencing a horrendous event on camera? Could we do a better job at finding other angles and methods that maybe just imply certain things? Directors, when working with young actors, can you be mindful about the kinds of things you ask them to imagine in order to produce certain emotions? Casting directors, can we use a clearer code to label the kinds of material within a script on the character breakdowns? For example, this project contains sexual violence, alcoholism, cursing, etc. So parents can take a quick peek and know right away, nope, this doesn't fall within the parameters of what we say yes to. Or, yes, this feels okay. And parents, please, please review the script, review the character, consider what boundaries would support the child's safety and physical well-being. And I want to ask you all for your input when it comes to storytelling in our culture. How do you think we could be more conscientious about the stories we share, the methods we use, not just in film, but also social media? We're all circulating tons of content to each other. What might we improve? Next area, zooming out to legislation. Big news, since the first episode of this season, we've already made inroads, which I can't talk about in detail yet, on getting legislation proposed in another state to protect young performers. If you do want to bring this issue to your rep, please do so. Remember, Shreya gave us a blueprint in Illinois for kid influencers. Let's raise this issue in order to protect the newest generation of kid performers, online and in traditional media, who don't have the protections in place for their finances and or consent to being filmed, posted, etc. Given social media is a major feature in most young people's lives, at least in the US, directly or, you know, by way of their peers, this to me is a no-brainer that we all ought to get on board with. This isn't just for kid stars, it's the future of humanity. This really could affect your child for real. As a part of advocating for legislation to protect child performers, I may release a petition, at which time I would love your support and signature. But if you want to take this idea and create one sooner, go for it. Jump in. Make it happen. Along with legislation, yes, SAG-AFTRA, the union, is obviously a part of this. Y'all need to invest more money into mental health and well-being resources, like every industry does, because the mental health crisis is worsening. You need to monitor set conditions more efficiently. SAG-AFTRA, our team, is giving you a game plan, a ready-made curriculum, and an ecosystem of trained professionals necessary to facilitate change. So just send us an email when you're ready. DearHollywoodPodcast@gmail.com. And now let's talk about the game plan for society and culture, all of us. I want to know your ideas here. Given all that's stirred from this first season, how do you want to move forward differently? What can we do individually about the way we interact with fame and celebrity culture? How might we adjust conditions and experiences for high-performing professional children? What changes do you want to make in your own life in terms of how you consume media? It may seem like a huge mountain that we could never move alone, and it's true, we can't do it alone, but we can do something, and we can make a difference. I know as I'm having these conversations and reading comments, some people have said they don't think kids under a certain age should be on TV at all anymore. Others have said, you know, replace all minors with AI. I've heard a few people say, you know, we need a mental health exam to be taken by the guardian and child before being approved to pursue the industry. I don't know. What do you say? And I want to know how this podcast has affected you personally. What did you learn about the industry and yourself and your own childhood experiences and development? And what do you hope to do with this newfound awareness? Feel free to pause and reflect and comment before continuing. And that also brings us into planning season two. So remember, I originally interviewed a whole bunch of people for this podcast, but my previous production agreement fell through and I wasn't permitted to share the videos. For season two, I want to bring guests in. Who do you want to see? Should it be former kid actors? And if so, who? Should we do a roundtable of people or one-on-one interviews? Should we try to get some network executives and other people throughout the industry pipeline? Should we bring in specialists from other sectors like performance psychologists or private investigators who deal with celebrity stalkers? Should we keep it to Hollywood or expand to child athletes and other high-performing children environments? Should we keep it just to the U.S. or expand internationally and learn about things like the K-pop training pipeline? Let's brainstorm together and consider what we think would be the most powerful and compelling second season. Granted, I also have to figure out then what I can legitimately make happen. In the meantime, you can keep up with me on Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, at Allison Stoner, and I'll continue sharing more. And if you've made it this far, please give this podcast a nice little rating and subscribe to my channels. That will help us show companies and networks that this is worth investing in. And putting on my present role as founder of Movement Genius, if you're listening and you or your workplace could benefit from well-being tools and resources, reach out to us at hello@movementgenius.com. We would love to support you. Be sure to comment all your reflections and ideas before you go. From 6-year-old Allison and 30-year-old Allison, thank you so much for listening to Dear Hollywood Season 1. And now you know.
That's a wrap on Season 1 of Dear Hollywood. Wow!
Shout out to the two gems. Joe and Mina, if we can say your name. I don't know if we can. We can say it.
Right?
Okay. People are going to know.